Ness. All right, so this is going to be for the pod feed, which I forgot to hit record again. And I'll go over those notes again. So deception is the key we're going to target this week. So let me just go through some things real quick with you on what I believe the Lord has impressed upon me. One being this verse in Proverbs 22, verse 28. So I got a camera on my Bible right now. And this is, remove not the ancient landmark, okay? Can you see that? And which thy fathers has set. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers has set. Now, what's going on today in the modernization of Christianity, I believe, is very, very dangerous. And they've thrown out a lot of the things that we know work and are replacing them with things that are appealing to witchcraft, rebellion, Eastern religions, lying signs and wonders, and deception. You know, you look in the 1950s, healing crusades, tent revivals, A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts back then, massive amounts of healing lines, Jack Coe, okay? You had a massive amounts of healing, okay? The music, very simple. There was an ancient landmark they were following of the gospel. And today, that is being kind of tossed out and replaced with an abomination, for lack of a better word. So, that verse. Now, the Lord doesn't change. Okay? So, we know that from Scripture. I am the Lord, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it seems like Christianity, the modernization of trying to be embedded in the world, to look like the world, to act like the world, to speak like the world, to have music like the world, and to do all these things, and even grafting in things of otherworldly religions, has diluted the true power of the Lord. Okay? That's what's going on. Diluting the true power with this cake-bake, flim-flam garbage. So, getting back to basics is what I'm doing this year. I mean, getting back to the simplicity of the gospel. Ring a bell? So, let's just go over to, I believe Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. I'm going to read here. Okay, so Hebrews 1, verse 12. And as a venture shalt thou fold them up. He's talking about everything fading away. Everything man represented, everything that's manifested through man will be folded up. And they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not, his years shall not fail. So the Lord is eternal, but he is the same. So when you see the power of God moving through a certain movement, namely what I mentioned earlier, the healing crusades, the healing revivals, the gospel being preached in a way where it was not watered down, okay? Today, repentance, the preaching of the kindness and severity of God is missing. You know it. Everybody knows it. What I'm going to do here is just go to a couple pages here to demonstrate what I'm talking about, because this is just unbelievable, all right? Let me see here. Okay. So this is, if you could see, let me see if you can see that. This gold dust stuff, I've been familiar with this gold dust stuff for years. It's nothing new to me. Okay. All right, so we're definitely live. Ruth Heffron, okay, this has been around for many years, okay? This is nothing new to me. This might be new to some people, but for me, I've been watching this for many years, 20 years. And this transference of anointing, Ruth Heffron was manifesting in this and transferred it to a guy named Bob Shadles. And this was going around New York for a while. I went to a couple meetings of it to examine it. And I did see flakelets floating in the air and stuff. And it was a manifestation that I didn't feel any holiness in whatsoever. In fact, I attributed it to a feeling that, like, an evil, something not of God. And there was not one healing. I'm sorry. There was actually one guy that finally stood up and said his headache felt better. Okay? But out of all the people that were there, there was nothing manifesting. All the people that got... Now, if you can get flakelets flying around, okay, that's supposed to be so impressive, but there's not one healing, I got a problem with that. If there's not one demon coming out and you got a flakelet, I don't care. Keep your flakelet. This is crazy. So you got Bob Shadles, Ruth Heffron back then died cancer. Shadles got the transference of this gold dust, died cancer. The ministry I went to watch this, she had gold dust all over her face at the meeting. 2 months later, got cancer on her face. This is like a curse of Gehazi. This is a Mammonite spirit. Now, here she is. She's got 7 pounds of gold that appeared in all her Bible pages.
Okay, so I'm sitting here, and I have been in prayer ministry today for 6 hours. And the assignment has been to set the captives free. And we were praying, Candace and I were praying with Brandy, and this is her body. And God has just put more gold dust than I've ever seen in my life on the passage of Exodus over the map of Egypt, and over the passage where the Israelites.
All right, so
finally,
here we're gonna see, here, look, so more gold. Watch this.
So thankful to God for
here we
goodness.
Go. And this is gold, gold, gold.
Is always defeated.
All this gold popping up. Now this, like I told you earlier, I know all about this thing. It's back with a vengeance because these flakelets are way more than the flakelets I saw. Okay, the flakelets I saw were scarcely floating around. So this is getting out of control. Warning alert. Stay away from this. Do yourself a favor. I just told you of two people and the third that got it on the face back in 2000, I remember. Okay? I was there. Check out the names. Ruth Heffron, Bob Shadles, this, nothing new, okay? Stay the hell away from that. Do yourself a favor. Now, next. This is a total abomination way above anything I've ever seen. This is destiny cards. This is Eastern religion divination. Now, you know, Christ warned us about this. I'll show you right now. Okay, now, Matthew 24, okay, Matthew 24, Jesus said, let nobody deceive you, right? For when they say, Christ be here, Christ in the wilderness, Christ over there, a lot of people misinterpret that as people saying they are Christ. in Matthew 24, the warning. Let nobody deceive you. Let nobody deceive you. Now, when you look at the Greek for the word Christ, when he said that Christ here, Christ there, Christ in the... He was saying anointing, the anointing, okay? False anointing. He's saying that's not me. You look up the word Christ means anointing. So, the warning is here in Matthew 24. Let nobody deceive you when they say the anointing's here, the anointing's there, the anointing's over there. Don't go for it. Stick to the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see it in Scripture, you are safe. When you see it in Scripture, you are safe. You see A.A. Allen setting up a light in the front and walking in front of it and people getting healed. That's in Scripture, actually. The cast shadow, people are getting healed. That I can say, okay, that's in Scripture. But none of this is in Scripture. The gold dust, this right here. Okay. This new Christianity that's going around, destiny cards. This is them right here. Okay. This is what they look like. This is what they dish out to you. And this is going to be your Christian destiny. Sounds good. This is the people involved. I mean, it's got Eastern religion written all over it. You can actually see the Eastern religion spirits on these people. You can see them. If you have discerning of spirits, you could see it. See that? The same thing you see on people deep in the yoga. It's the same spirit. This is where they're getting into mind meditation. This entire abomination of dishing out these cards. See how they give them out? They wear like the guru. They do the guru and then they dish them out. It's like a prophetic, baloney. This is not the way the Lord operates. You don't see this in Scripture. You don't ever see this in Scripture. Just like I told you that the flakelets. The only person you saw covered with mammon was the prophetic type and foreshadow of Lucifer in the book of Ezekiel. Covered in gems and jewels. So this is what that the gold thing does, covered in gems and jewels, mammon. Now you got this masked witchcraft divination going on in Christianity. Looks good, sounds good, but it's not. Let's look at the definition of divination. The art, okay, so this is what this is, the art, they call themselves the art. The art or practice that seeks to foresee or foretell future events, discover hidden knowledge, usually by interpretation of omens, supernatural powers, insight, unusual insight. This is pretty unusual to me. These cards, I don't need them. You need them. Stay away from these Eastern religious spirits manifesting in Bethel Church. That's who this is affiliated with. Just roll in the Eastern religions crap. Just bring it on in. This, listen, if you fold under this stuff, you're going to get a demon. Several. I'm telling, and we're going to have to cast them out. And I've cast out many of these Kundalini spirits in the past. Okay? Come out squealing like snakes, hissing. This, you don't want this. But if you have been involved in it, we're going to have a static location here for you. Strike the head of the serpent in New York. Okay. Destiny cards went over the gold dust. I want to talk about Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. Thou shalt not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. You know, that's all about these abortionists putting their children to Molech, which the liberals do today. And useth divination. Notice how the Lord equates those two, abortion and divination, right in the same breath of his. An observer of the times, or an enchanter, or a witch. So, divination. We went over that definition earlier. Okay? Stay away. And even some that act like they're prophetic in that movement, they might try to pull off of Thus Saith the Lord every now and then, that has zero anointing, but has all other type stuff like twitching, tongue darting like a lizard, hissing, like that. Get away from this. Like I told you earlier, we got to get back to the ancient landmarks that the fathers have established. Okay? Well, everything you saw going on in the healing revivals, where you see 22,000 people packed under Jack Coe's tents and preaching of repentance. Has anyone out there ever heard God is a Killer by A.A. Allen? Are you going to really ever hear it? Go check that message out. God is a Killer by A.A. Allen. And you listen to that message. That is a landmark, an ancient landmark set up by the fathers. These are fathers of the faith. Just like, ain't no called by anybody father. I'm saying Abraham is called a father of the faith. I'm talking about the people in the lineage of our Christian brethren and patriarchs. Now, this here is not what they were doing. Listen to God is a Killer by A.A. Allen. You can find it. YouTube will probably try banning it, but check it out over there. And you tell me if you would ever hear a message like that. Preach today. In the modern days church, entity, system, polluted with this stuff, you're never going to hear that. I mean, we had David Wilkerson here in New York. That was the closest thing. That's the ministry that I sat under, the constantly getting the tapes twice a week. I mean, you had to latch on to that stuff. But you look on today, what's going on? This is unbelievable. This is like an alternate reality to me. I just can't even believe it, that people would fall for this. This is divination. Warning alert. Stay away from that and the dust. Now, we went over that with the divination. God warned here to stay the hell away from them. And the Greek for Christ, meaning anointing, manifesting everywhere. All I could say, folks, is God doesn't change. But it seems like a lot of people in the church are changing and running to whatever they can grasp their hands onto. And I'm telling you now, the ancient landmarks have been set, and it's time to get back to them. That's why I told you earlier, if you got time, check out God is a Killer by A.A. Allen. You'll feel a heavy anointing on that message. Preached out of, I think, 2 Samuel. And why? Why is everything getting so watered down? Why is the gospel becoming more on these weird signs than demonstrated power? I mean, real power. Legs growing out, people jumping out of stretchers, cancers dissolving into liquid. You know. And yet, oh, this is a great wonder. Christ is here. Anointing is here. No, it's not. In your mind, it is, because you've been deceived by false signs and lying wonders. And because of it, and because you've yielded to it and not heeded to the warning in Scripture, then you get the demon, especially from the laying on of hands. You want to be giggling, jumping around with dust, with feathers, and all types of wacko cards hanging out of your pocket? Is that the way you want to go? It's crazy. So I'm going to, for earlier, I didn't have the stream going for the Podomatic feed. Again, next, I lost WatchmanRadio.com. Somebody's holding it ransom for $2,000. So you see my downloads are down tremendously. So people must have been using that link to get here, and they can't anymore because I've been hijacked. But NextCrusade.com will take you here. And on the top link, let's go back to that. Okay. All right. So NextCrusade.com will bring you here at the top link. This will clue you into the Facebook, whatever they call that, fan page. That'll give you alerts. This will subscribe you to YouTube that keeps coming against me for no reason. I keep making new pages. I made a new one, and they still have deleted me. So I'm hoping this one, I didn't even play any music. I'm going to try playing my own music, and maybe they'll leave me alone. So this will subscribe you to the YouTube, meaning that every time we go live, which we're going to be doing more shows than one a week now, because we're ramping up for the static location in New York, Strike the Head of the Serpent Ministries, which we're going to be doing healing and deliverance at the location every Saturday. Not that far from Manhattan, 20 minutes. Money Bomb page here, where you could kick a brick upstairs for that project with PayPal. Chip in, $5, whatever you sent, you put in there is going directly for next the next show. I'll show you all the pictures of the rooms we're renting. It's going to be two of them. So this project, if you want to get behind that project, here's a link at nextcrusade.com, the bottom link. Now, this page, we're going to build the page back up, but this is a temporary page. And, of course, you got the Facebook feed alerts and the YouTube. Hopefully, they don't delete the page. I mean, the new video. All right. So, with that being said, let's get Time Bomb Tom on the line. We're going to call him on Skype. Check.
Which we're going to be doing healing and deliverance at
Hello?
The location.
Yeah, you're on yeah. You're in a back feed. Slow. You got to shut that.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, you just had something open that was playing the show. Just shut that.
Yeah, I did. Okay. I turned it off. Right.
All right. So Tom Hewitt's on the line, and this is his cowboy picture, which he's like a faded looking cowboy. Let me get to that so everybody can see the faded cowboy look. So pray that he gets a new picture. Let's just bring that up on the screen. All right, so there he is. Like, actually looks like somebody Jesse James killed. So he's on here. We're going to go right over to, I covered a little bit on deception. Today is just a show on deception abounding. I think it's important that we, in Ezekiel, the watchman calling is to alert. Isaiah 58 begins off with sounding a trumpet against certain abominations. And certainly I've been doing that for many years. Watching radio has been on the air 14 years. Okay, it's a long time. All right, so this is not new to me. We've been doing this for years. But now it's getting abounding worse. So I have to come out. Even though we're doing a building project, this is also going to be used to alert people in New York about the static location, which we're doing weekly healing and deliverance meetings, demonstration, teaching, bringing in teachers, and probably nothing you've ever really seen before. Okay? This is a whole new level. So, I mean, you know, if I needed someone to go, this is a place where I would want to go. Okay? Because this is Elijah Challenge Training, demonstration of divine healing, demonstration of deliverance and mass deliverance, casting out demons individually or en masse, and the training of such. Okay? So, there's nothing wrong with what lots going on in the church today as far as flim-flam, clippy-clappy, cake-bake stuff. I mean, that does help every now and then. If you want to get into something just to hang out with. But you have to come out of the level of that sometimes and do the exploits that you see in the book of Mark, last chapter, go ye into all the world and cast out devils and heal the sick. That is a commandment. It's not an optional thing. So you just got to break out into that level. So the goal of the static location is to raise up massive amounts of disciples and take this to other states. So Tom is on. He's going to be talking about another deception. So, Tom, the mic is yours.
Okay, Rich. Yeah, this is a deception that I myself participated in probably in the first 4 or 5 years of my Christianity. I got saved when I was going to college. I was an architectural student having trouble with architecture. I went out alone one night. I was not a believer. I lived in a fairly well-to-do household and had really no need of God or supernatural help. But I really had a desire to be an architect, a real strong desire, and I was not doing well in my first year of school in the Midwest. So I went out at night, I never knew anybody that knew Christ or, you know, mattered. And I just cried out. I said, God, I don't know whether you will live or die or whether you're alive, but I can't get any human help. My parents are, you know, 2,000 miles from here. I don't know anybody. And my grades in architecture aren't too good. And I could be cut, you know, the first semester. I cried out to God, you know what I mean? I mean, I wasn't even saved. I mean, it's just a heathen, you know? And part of the problem I was having is, you know, architectural studies are pretty intense. They require you to put in, you know, 5 to 6 hours of study for every hour you're in class. And, of course, I had a few things in addition to that going on the side, like going down to the local bar, meeting a nice-looking woman, and maybe spending a night or two. And then, of course, then I had to go back to studies. That wasn't working out. So I cried out to God, and within, I didn't put these two things together until later, but within 2 months, somebody came to my dormitory room, knocked on the door, wanted to know if I'd ever heard the gospel. I said, no, you know, but who cares, you know. And so then they said, well, would you like to hear it? I said, well, okay, whatever. And so that was the beginning, and they came, and the guy was kind of nice. And so I listened for 6 friggin' months. I listened. And I said, whoa, this is, they want me to cross a line that I've never been over before, and then they want me to stay there? You know, forget about chasing chicks, getting drunk, having a good time. Now I'm going to be Mr. Holy? I don't think so. And so this guy who was a nerd, a physics nerd, kept talking to me. And one night it was like I was about ready to leave his room again, and this time it wasn't like just him I was hearing. I heard somebody like either talking through him or together with him, and it freaked me. Man, I spun around 90 degrees, dropped to my knees, and I asked Christ into my heart to be my Savior. And I've never been the same since. That happened a long time, decades ago. But then they started discipling me, getting me in the Word of God every day, and, you know, and throughout my life as a believer, I had sins that continued to crop up and be a part of my life. And, of course, I just dismissed it. Well, I'm forgiven. No big deal. But it got to the point the sins were so regular, it was like I could expect to be doing them at least 2 or 3 times a week. And still, you know, getting deep into the Word, leading Bible studies, you know, I was well-founded in the Word of God, but also well-founded in my particular sin. And this began to bother me because I was thinking like, wow. And then I began doing a lot of Bible study on my own. And as I studied the Word of God on my own, I didn't see eternal security, even though that was the group I was in. And so I started disagreeing with them and having little talks about, well, it really says this, but you're saying this. I don't see where this is, you know, a guaranteed slot in the kingdom if it's dependent on whether you live like you're supposed to live over a considerable period of time, and that's not happening with me. And they would, oh, no, don't worry about it, Tom. Just confess your sin. You'll be forgiven. Everything will go on. And I went like that for another 10 years after I'd been saved for 10. I was about 15, 20 years in the Lord when I ran into what's called the Deliverance Ministry, which is something that but Rich and I have done together and will be doing together in this static location, even on the internet, or, you know, you can get delivered over the internet. I've seen it. A long time ago, we were on a thing called Pal Talk, and used to exercise the Deliverance Ministry on Christians in Pal Talk that had, you know, considerable sin in their lives that they weren't free of. And, you know, the more times you open the door to commit willful sin means, it doesn't mean you necessarily willfully want to do it. They talk about the kind of sin that you could lose your salvation over that you do like a rebellious public person. What I did was in secret. Nobody knew I was doing this stuff. But I certainly knew, and God certainly knew, and I believe there are literally hundreds of thousands of believers in America that are doing the very same thing that I was doing, and they're locked in. And I found out later my son was locked into that, and my daughter seems to be have some problems in that area, having married a guy that she got she's a believer in Christ, got pregnant as a believer, and she now she's married to the guy. It turned out it was a pretty godly man, and the marriage is working out. But I'm saying you don't have to be in what's called open rebellion. You can be in secret rebellion. You know, there's a scripture that the Apostle Paul quotes as to what's going to happen on Judgment Day. I don't know exactly what, I think it's in Romans or somewhere, but he says, on that day, the secrets of men's and, of course, women's hearts will be judged. So you're going to be judged for what you did in secret, whether anybody saw it or not, because God saw it, and that will determine whether you get in. So obviously my side of this picture of once saved, always saved is forget it. There's no such scripture exists. Now, I will tell you this. I've been a Christian for a long time. I've had problems for a long time. But I want to tell you something, and they're not easy problems to be solved or to shake off. But I want to tell you something. God's love for me has always been there. As long as I was willing to turn back, to come to him, to admit it, to move on, you know, he would pick up like he never knew it happened. That's what amazed me, is how God could, like, a couple of days after I'd been fooling around, God would pick up where we last left off, and it was like it never happened. But that's what he says. He says that's how he forgives. He forgives like it never happened. Not that it didn't happen, it did. But his forgiveness is incredible. His love is incredible. And some people use that verse in Romans where it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither tribulation or fire or this or that. It doesn't say sin. It says everything but sin. But sin can separate you. And a believer can, you know, I don't know about you people, but once I became a believer and I really gave myself to the Word of God, to studying it, and I got good. I got good in the Word. I got good in the Old Testament. I got good in the New Testament. I got good at hearing from the Holy Spirit. I began moving in a prophetic anointing, and I could stand up. The anointing would be all over me. I'd give a prophetic word out, and a bunch of people would look at me like I was nuts, and the elders would all get together and discuss it, and it was okay, you know? And that was a place where they normally didn't allow stand-up prophecy. But the anointing was on me. I stood up. I prophesied. Bang. In a 1,000-member church up in Alaska. And they would get together, huddle together, talk about it, and leave me alone. So I'm just saying, I got to the point where I could really, really hear from the Lord. And yet I still was playing games with sin for years. And this bothered me. And then I came into what's called the Deliverance Ministry. And I first listened to a man by the name of Derek Prince. He's no longer alive, but he was then, and he headed up a thing called the Deliverance Ministry, which is primarily for believers who have continually indulged or found themselves pulled into a particular sin, and when you continually open the door to some form of sin or rebellion that you already know is sin, but you do it anyhow, you get to a point where your heart gets hard, your mind gets hard, and it's not so hard to do it. And then you get almost as good. Well, since God always forgives, you don't get any problem with for repenting. But it's not really repentance because you're really not free. And so then eventually I met Rich in New York. I was traveling back and forth across the United States. I met Rich, and I have had a lot of dreams, and the dreams are so accurate. Oh boy, I got freaked. I'd have dreams about things that would happen in my own family, you know, 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month down the road. And I, oh no, big, that could never happen. Yeah, right. Accidents, false accusations, doing this, that, and the other, and they were pinpointed in the dream, and I would pretend like, oh, that, I wouldn't pretend like, I'd just say, oh, give me a break. And yet, the day would come, maybe not an exact date, and all the circumstances would line up, and bango, full car accident, take, you know, months to get the car fixed. I didn't get killed. Eventually, I learned what to do about dreams like that. There's a scripture in the verse, in the Word of God that says, He told Peter, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. He was giving him spiritual authority over things on the earth as well as heaven. And since many, many of the dreams that I've had deal with situations that come upon you while you're walking on this earth, I learned when I had a dangerous warning dream about a car accident or even dying of cancer. I've had a couple of dreams about dying of cancer. Cancer was in my family. And I would immediately go to the Lord, and I'd start binding. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of cancer. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind that car accident. And you know, when that, I would go in for a checkup, and whatever they saw was gone. Or I'd be driving down the street, and all those cars that I saw in the thing that caused an accident would be there, but no accident happened. So the circumstances, but I had bound those things. And so I learned that by binding and loosing and having dreams, you could see what's coming ahead of time. And for instance, I've seen the judgment that comes on America for the backslidden church. That's one of the reasons I'm so in tune with and concerned about what Rich is doing. Is I love this country. I love America. But I see America is under Obama for at least 8 years, entirely departed from one. You say you're one nation under God. I have to say, well, yeah, one nation under God, but it's not the God of the heavens, Jesus Christ. It's the God of this earth. As we began to fully receive and accept, you know, homosexual marriage, gay marriage, transsexual, change sexes, and this made Sodom and Gomorrah look like a kid's play. And so I saw the judgments that God would bring on this country. And I saw the nations that he would raise up to destroy America and wipe us off the face of the earth. I have kids. I don't want that to happen to them. And then the Lord, after about 10 years of dreams and visions and going around warning everybody, nobody wanted to hear what I had to say, the Lord, about 2004, told me the solution to the problem is a revival in his church. In the same, just like Richard was talking about, we had a similar revival in the church in America back in the late 40s, throughout the 50s and early 60s, consisting of Catherine Coleman, A.A. Allen, Jack Coe, these men. There were at least 15, 20, 30 ministers out there moving with tents, moving in the healing gifts, moving in prophecy. A.A. Allen was one of the chief men doing that. They all had committed to long fasts, and Oral Roberts. I've been to Tulsa. I sat under Oral Roberts and his son, and so God began saying to me back in 2004 that if America will have a genuine Holy Ghost revival, his judgments on America will back off, and we'll get 10, 20 more years of the glory of God spreading the gospel around, but eventually, America's actually, this is another subject, but America is actually the mystery Babylon of chapter 18 of Revelation. I received much revelation on that, but I said, well, wait a second, I got kids growing up here, I don't want that to happen now, and that's when it began. So since 2004, I've pretty much known that it's the will of God to bring a revival. I made a lot of attempts and tries that still haven't, we haven't gotten there. If we get there, you'll know it, and we'll know it. And if there's anybody that could possibly work together with me and I could work together with him and we could do something along these lines, it's Richard Keltner. I've known him for quite some time. I met him back in the around 2000. And right after that, the World Trade Center came down. He had a dream about it. We didn't have a date, but 8 months later, the World Trade Center came down, and we were down there preaching six blocks from it. And in fact, the day it came down, we were going to go and sit in the top of the tower and have a dinner. Thank God we didn't, you know. Anyhow, so I've known Rich for quite some time. He's a very real godly guy. He's very favored. I'll put it this way. He's favored of God. He's no more godly than I am, you know. But, you know, God chooses somebody, and you better recognize you're chosen, because I don't care how wicked you have or haven't behaved in the past. You get chosen. God's eye is on you. He's going to have you escape from this, escape from that, prosper here, prosper there. You better take notice, because if you don't take notice, oh, boy, it's, you know, this once saved, always saved would apply to you. And I know it applies to me, because I had some pretty heavy dreams about, you bring no revival, the people who didn't get saved will be part of the crowd wanting to torture you when you're in hell. That was from the Lord. I didn't get it from just anybody. I got that from people that never dreamed before. And they would come up and say, man, I had a dream last night and you were in it. And this is the time I was working for money, and God wanted me not working for money. I was running a forklift in a storage warehouse. And he said, I had a dream last night about you. And the forklift, you know, lifted up and it tipped back over and you were crushed and died. I said, oh, really? I didn't stay at that job much longer. So, you know, I understand what over the years, having had the kind of sins that you keep tripping over, and having God be so good to you. And then later on in your life, when he starts showing you that, you know, I'm going to be good to you, but you keep this up, you will not enter into heaven. And so this whole once saved, always saved is, in my opinion, you can find scripture that appear to back it up, but you can find an equal number of scripture that tear it to pieces. And one of the biggest places where it's torn to pieces in the book of Hebrews. In fact, chapter 10, the book of Hebrews, where it very clearly talks about, you know, willful sin and, you know, willfully sinning. Once you've been covered under the blood, known the Holy Spirit, the goodness of God, then there's no sacrifice for that sin. In other words, you've already defiled. You've tread on the blood. And this is going on in America. And I believe we're called to stand in the gap and stop it. And I want to see it stopped. Rich wants to see it stopped. But it's not going to happen by me sitting around, you know, thinking about it or praying. Yeah, I pray about it. But we got to get out there and start doing something. We're going to have to get out there and start using. I've had many dreams about healing the sick, about casting out devils. And that's what we have to do. And Rich restarted the Watchman program. I just happened to be around. I moved all the way from California with an RV to New York. God said he wants to bring revival to New York. While I was here, the guy who I was partnered with got into a degree of unforgiveness toward me, shut down all that we were doing together, and I haven't seen him for 4 or 6 months. I don't believe we'll be back together again. It's too bad. He's a younger believer. I don't believe he did it intentionally, but he did have a dream the day he started it that that Satan would deceive him. And of course he said that in the dream I was Satan. And of course that's ridiculous, but you know, that's what happens when you're younger in the Lord and you know, you kind of get freaked. But anyhow, it really opened up the door even to a greater extent so that Rich and I can work together and we'll work together. And I'm very excited about what we're doing. And once saved, always saved. I suppose I could have told you more on that. I probably told you more along the line of my experience of not knowing, of having been taught that the first 5 years of my Christianity, then living a life that seemed to take advantage of it until finally, you know, God put on the brakes. So I heard Rich talking a little bit. Maybe we can It's 22 minutes. Do you want me to keep going or end
it
here?
No, we're
going to
wrap it up. So, you know what? Let's just...
Okay.
Yeah, because I want to keep it on an hour. I'm going to upload this to the pod feed right now. I can't play any music, so I'm going to play some of my EDM music that I've done in the past to bring this show out. So, because I don't want to get banned on YouTube again, which I think YouTube is demonic.
Yeah, no.
Okay? I don't know what happened to YouTube, but... They're definitely out of control. So, we'll be back during the week. Like I said, nextcrusade.com at the top. You got the alerts for Facebook. The next one down at the top of the page will be the YouTube alerts. Subscribe to them. This way you get all the updates and the guests we got coming on this week, which can include David Langford, Russ Dizdar, a lot of the old crew. So, we'll be doing that in the next week. Also... the link's also there for any type of donation for the room. So we want to get going with the static location in New York for Strike the Head of the Serpent. Those of you that have been to the prior meetings know what it's all about. But this is going to be another level. It's going to be a lot more time, and it's also going to be doing divine healing training. So with that being said, Watching Radio saying farewell. We'll see you soon. God bless you. Tom, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, and, amen.
All right. Watch your radio saying farewell and peace be unto you.